Give Him glory and honor and praise for what He has done. What a joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Open up the Scriptures and to share what God has for us this morning. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. Again, reading with verse 3. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, that now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Let's go back and look at verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Of course, He's the one that's weighing the thought if He needs to do something, because He is in control. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. About mid-January, a little bit earlier than mid-January, the Lord spoke to my heart, and He told me that He was going to do something in my life. And what God has planned will be perfect, of course. And He asked me a question. The God of all glory going to do something in my life for my good and for His glory, that I know. And He asked me a question. The question was, as I'm doing this, will you give me all the praise, all the honor, and the glory, and not question, even in your thoughts, one second, what I'm doing? Well, thoughts. What we're going to be talking about this morning, thoughts. So I thought about that for a long time. Now, He's going to do something. He's God. He'll do it, if need be, through heaviness. The meaning is difficulties, possibly, whatever He chooses. Through manifold, many-sided, many-colored, many different ways He has to work in my life and heart. Through trials of my faith. So the thought I was thinking, if it's just me and my health, that's okay. I'll never question. Lord, I will not in any way, one time, if you'll help me, think about you're doing wrong or anything that you can't do wrong. But then I thought, what if it's not me? What if it's my children, my grandchildren, my wife, my only great-granddaughter? What if it's them? Now, you're going to do it, and you'll do it right, but you ask me, how will I react? Will I question, no matter what? I thought that all day long. If it's just me, that's okay. I remember 29 years ago when God brought me low, and He told me ahead of time, I'm going to bring you down low, but I'll rear you back up. And I started thinking about all the good that did. You know, suffering in the hospital 35 days was paradise. That's one thing. God brought me through it. And it's for His glory. But during that time, God was dealing with my son Darren to preach. And right after that, he announced his calling to preach. During that time, his wife got gloriously saved. And right after that, God started blooming their church for my good and for His glory. And I said, Lord, if I have to go through suffering again, that's okay. I will not think one time. Still, I could not reconcile, what if it's my children? Now, He's going to do it right if He does it, but will I have the ability, no matter what He does, not to question, not even the thought? It's one thing to say it with it, not even think one time. And finally, I said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. And then God started burdening me with this message. I didn't know what He was going to do. Like Brother Dave just testified, thank you, Brother Dave, that God will do as He pleases. Let's read some scripture about our thinking. God has placed in my heart this morning about our thoughts. He knows every thought. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the body and the center of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Discerns every thought and every intent of every heart. Luke 5:22. And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answered, said to them, what reason ye in your hearts? Many times Jesus said He knew their thoughts. And He knows your thoughts. He knows my thoughts. He knows what you're thinking now, what you have thought. Thoughts are really important, as we're going to see this morning as never before. Psalms 94:17. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, help me up. In the multitude of my thoughts, wherein me thy comforts delight my soul. While we're thinking, in the multitude, manifest, manifold, many times, in the magnitude, all the thoughts we think, if we think right, He comforts our soul. But we don't always think right, do we? Lord guided me into the thought of studying about Elijah this morning and making an application. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 17, and Elias was a man subject to like passion as us. Elias in the Greek, Elijah in the Hebrew, same person. And the Bible says that this great giant of a man, that we know some things he did for God, and we'll just look at a little bit of those. We know some things he didn't do right for God. But he was a man subject to like passions as you and I. So as we relate to him, we can relate to ourselves, because the message is for me, it's for you. We'll use Elijah, and the Word of God as we look at his life. First time we see Elijah, remember, he goes up to Ahab's house and says, it won't have a drop of rain until I speak the word. Of course, God is doing the directing. And in those days, Elijah seemingly came out of nowhere. God already had him selected for that task. And he serves God. Remember that 3.5 years. Not one time in the Word of God did you ever see him complaining. He never had thoughts that we were told about of God didn't do him right. Now, the famine hurt him as much as it did anyone else. The famine, no rain. So the brook dried up. Remember, he sent him to a brook, and the ravens fed him, and he was comforted there. God takes care of his children. And then the Bible tells us how content he was. And when the brook dried up, he sent him to a widow's house. Remember that story where the meal never dried up and it was always there and oil sustained all the time while the widow and her son and Elijah all during that time. And during those 3.5 years, Elijah is one that was content. He was hurting like everyone else. He was no doubt having many thoughts. Why me? Why am I going through? And then to beat it all, he had to run for his life because Ahab was searching all through the country for him. But during all this time, remember, Elijah stayed true to God, his thought process. And it's like the scripture we read to start with, that we're subject to lack passion. And the Bible says if God says we need to, if he chooses, if need be, we go through manifold temptations. And God chose that for Elijah. A man subject to like passions does. And when you and I go through hardships, God wants you and I to understand and know, and even their thought process, that God is doing right. God's done right, he's doing right, and he will always do right. But then we see, as we heard, I was home sick that day, turning yellow, and all God let me go through, those that don't know, had to go to the hospital, and my liver had been diseased because my gallbladder had put stones in the duct, and I was yellow, and my liver was out of really bad, and the gallbladder was bad. And to beat it all, the third thing happened. My heart rate was down in the low 30s. And God had already told me he's going to do something, if need be. And he's God. I didn't question it, not one time. God knows my heart. He knows my thought. I knew he was there. I knew he was going to stay me. I didn't know all that God was going to do and all God was going to show me. But I knew it was for my good and for his glory. Because I had agreed to go ahead and let him contain and control my thought pattern. And then I came home. I thought I was well after 6 days, 5 nights in the hospital. I came home and thought I was good. And listen, I told my wife, I'm going to tell all the husbands here this morning. Husbands, listen to your wives. My wife had an appointment. And I was going to take her, just got home from the hospital, and I'm fine. It's dangerous for you to be driving. I'm fine. And as I was getting ready to go, my head got really light. And I don't remember anymore. She said I sat on the bed. She talked to me, and I wouldn't respond. And the next thing I knew, I heard a siren. I said, I hear a siren. She said, yeah, that's you. That's for you. And I said, husbands, listen to your wife. We think we're macho. We think we've got it all under control, don't we? Well, I went back to the hospital because of the low heart rate, 32 beats a minute, and blood pressure's out of whack. 4 more days, 3 more nights in the hospital. Thank God. Because this time God started revealing some things to me. Hadn't seen before. I was too sick before. And during all this time, after the second day of surgery, not one pain in my body. And for the last, 3 weeks, he's taken the pain away. I don't even have pain now where I've had pain for years. He could let it start again. But God has taken care of all these many things. I can't tell you. But let's look at Elijah now. Remember after he went up on Mount Carmel and Brother Craig preached that message the first day I was out about Elijah and the patience he had and how he had his servant go look for rain, and the 7th time he came back and the storm came, he outran Elijah. He outran Ahab in his fast chariot all the way to Jezreel. But then I want to look at the next phase of his life. after he had those prophets of Jezebel killed, Jezebel sent the word that I'm going to kill you, Elijah. And for the first time, we see Elijah start having this thought process that wasn't right. And he started to say, they're going to kill me. I'm the only one left. I'll flee for my life, but I want to die. So he went and hid himself under a juniper tree. Remember, let's read the scripture together. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went with his for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself, when the day journeyed into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, there an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Thought pattern. And as I was thinking about this, and this is 2 days before I came home, I'm recovering, my blood pressure is getting back up, my heart rate's back up in the high 40s, I'm doing pretty good. And the Lord came by and started showing me something about thoughts. Now, you can't see thoughts, but God does. And, you know, I think a lot about my thoughts and other people's thoughts and kind of dismiss them. Will you think? You know, you think. But God says that's awful important. And God showed me something about the thought process, how it can hinder. And God used something natural to show me, something spiritual. They brought my food in, and it's in one of those containers that retains all the heat, and when you take the cover off, steam goes out. And that's a natural process. Remember, in physics class, the way heat is dispensed, you know, conduction, you set something hot here, and what you set it on conducts some heat. Well, there's not much conduction going on because it's insulated underneath. But then the second way, everything God did, there's three ways to everything. Conduction, number one, to get rid of heat. And then convection. Convection is that you set an object here and an object here, and some of the heat goes into that thing. Conduction on one sitting, but through to another one. Now, I didn't see that. But then the most visible thing that you can see is the steam going up. And as the steam goes up, God allows us to understand and know not only conduction and convection, but radiation. And as I was watching that same process go up, God let me see in magnified form, I saw all those things that God sees. And pretty soon, it was so many layers, I couldn't see through it. I couldn't see what was beyond that. My eyes going bad. One eye, two eyes, and for 2 or 3 minutes, wow, this is my vision going bad. And if it retains this, all I can see is what's going on. I can't see anything, people or nothing. And then I thought, this is of God. So I closed my eyes and said, Lord, if you're showing me something and this is of you, when I open my eyes, let it be gone. I open my eyes, it's gone. 4 more times. The next 4 meals, the same thing. But I didn't dwell 2 minutes on it this time. I looked at it, and it's getting thicker. I can't see beyond. If it's of you, God, when I opened my eyes, it's gone. 5 times, the number of grace. Then I said, well, maybe. Turn the water over. That's nice. But then, The sixth time it came, I said, God, if this was all of you this time, I won't say anything except that little statement. And sure enough, that's it. So God showed me a little bit about the thought process. And God showed me that when our thinking is wrong, it doesn't permit us to see the things of God. It blocks, it hinders. When you and I think things, and Elijah now was not content with God's will, it's all about himself. And when you and I start thinking thoughts about ourselves, about what we want, about what we desire, it hinders, it blocks. And we can't see what God wants from us. The thought process. So now Elijah, you say, well, God has a plan for Elijah. In fact, as he's journeying, as he's going from Jezreel to Beersheba, he's heading in the direction, although he thinks, he don't know what God's plan for him. As far as he's concerned, his thought process is, I want to die and go on. Never mind what God has for me. God's used me all these years, and will God keep using me? He didn't care. The thought process hinders. And when you and I start thinking about what we want, what we desire, what we think God wants for His church, and while I'm looking at all that, God shows me the importance of each person that He saved and each member thinking the things of God. We'll deal with that a little bit more. God impressed me so that my thought process can hinder. And if I keep thinking about my way and not God's way, it blocks, it hinders, and I cannot see anything beyond my own reasoning. My ways aren't right and your ways aren't right. God's ways, only His ways are right. But God's not through with him. He's already headed to Beersheba, which is in the direction God wants him to go, to Mount Horeb. And even though his thought process is wrong, God's going to get it right. And if you and I are children of God, even though we do think sometimes about ourselves, but God forgives, and God sent an angel, and he ate thereof, and the Bible says God had a place for him to go, and he traveled 40 days. If you look at the direction he was going, to Mount Horeb, which is Sinai, the mouth of God, it wouldn't have taken him under normal circumstances 40 days to travel that far, but God chose the number 40 for a lot of reasons, no doubt. Remember, Jesus was tempted 40 days, and the children of Israel was 40 years in the wilderness. 40 has a lot of connotation. We won't deal with that. But anyway, God says 40 days. When he got there, then remember he went into the cave. He went where God wanted him to go. Finally, God let him overcome his thought processes because God wanted him to get back on track with what he wanted in his life. And when you and I go through these troubled times, and that's why God wanted me ahead of time to agree with him that my thought process with his direction would not one time interfere with what God wanted me to do. Whatever it was, if it was my children, no matter what, he's God. And I want to control everything in my mind that he is in charge of my life for my good and for his glory. Well, God got him there all right. And then God started showing him some things. Let's look at what God started showing him. He guided him to Jezreel, and then he guided him, even though he didn't understand it, as he was running from Jezebel, he was headed in the direction, because does not the Bible say the steps of a good man are guided by the Lord? He's a good man. And even when his thought process was wrong, he was still guided in the right direction. That's the way God does that. Sometimes we get out of God's will by thinking the wrong thoughts, by wanting our way rather than God's way. If we belong to him, we're still having our steps directed. And then he had him go to Mount Horeb. And as God directs your thoughts and their intents in their life, let's see what happens now. And then the Bible says in verse 9 of that chapter, and he came thither to a cave. He's at the right place. Regardless of what he wanted, God says, no, you belong to me. And I'll get your thought process straightened out. Because he was touched by God. Fed by the angel of the Lord. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what doeth thou here, Elijah? Aren't we thankful that even sometimes our thought process isn't about the things of God or what he wants? Sometimes does it make excuses? Oh man, thou art without excuse. But even in those times when God gets us back on track, God still speaks. What doeth thou here, Elijah? Now he knew what he was doing there, but God speaks to us. He involves us in the work that he wants us to do. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken that covenant, thrown down their altars, and slain their prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life and take it away. It's just about me, not about anybody else but me. And that's why my thought process was wrong. And I didn't even know it. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And then we know the story. God sends a strong wind, rent the mountains, but God wasn't in the wind. Then he sent an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And then the earthquake, a great fire that consumed, God wasn't in that. And then God speaks, still small voice, because God's got him back where he needs to be. And listen to what he says. Verse 13, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what doeth thou here, Elijah? See, when God wants us to go in a certain direction and we don't want to go, selfish, he asked the question. He didn't have to change the question because he knows Elijah's heart. And he knows what Elijah needs to do before he departs. Elijah's going to live 10 more years. And God has a plan for him. And the only way he knows that plan is to get in the presence of God. Look at verse 15. And the Lord said to him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when that cometh, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nisha shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Zaphath of Abel-Mehoah shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it came to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. The still small voice came to him, and how did he recognize that voice? He got in the presence of God, and when he got in the presence of God, he let God's voice overwhelm him, and he forgot his ways. He forgot that Jezebel was after him. He started trusting God again. He had threefold thing God told him to do. He thought he was finished. He thought God didn't want him anymore. But he really wasn't looking at what God wanted. He was only looking at what he wanted. Many times we get in that avenue of life. But he had the divine call to proclaim the word and let the word of God, after he left 10 years from now, so anoint Elisha. Proclaim the word of God. That's the most important thing. The second thing is he wanted to give direction to the nation Israel. And that's because God's going to have him anoint the next king. And then, of course, God is interested in all the world. He is dominion over all the kingdom of the world. So go to Damascus and anoint Hazael king. God's interested in everything. Proclamation of his word. Direction for the things of God. Israel is God's nation. and he's over all the kingdoms of the world. But let me look lastly. What have we learned that makes application for you and I? The first phase of Elijah's life, we can learn that the thoughts of pleasing God, if we have thoughts in our life of pleasing God and bringing praise to Him, it will inspire us. It will inspire us to keep reading, keep studying, because God blesses your life. And yes, we go through hard times. Elijah did, going without water. No doubt the food supply wasn't, as he was traveling from the brook up to the widow's house. No doubt he got hungry. Not one time do you see that he was questioning God. No thoughts of questioning God. And when you and I live a life that's pleasing before God and our heart's desire, yes, we make mistakes. And yes, unfortunately, we may think the wrong thing. But if the most time that our heart's desire is to please God, it will inspire us to keep on going on for the glory of God. What's the second thing we've learned from watching the life of Elijah? That the thoughts about ourselves and not God will impede us. It will hinder us, as God showed me in that vision. Does God still show visions? Will it? You may not believe it, but it sure did me. And all the things that, as we transfer our thoughts, they just don't vanish. Our thoughts are transferred in the presence of God. He sees every thought. He knows every intent of the heart. When you and I don't please God and we start thinking selfish thoughts about ourselves or about what we think God ought to do, sometimes we think what someone else ought to do. We're so strong on that we say, boy, if this would happen, if that was happening. When we start thinking thoughts like that, it impedes our direction toward God. He sees it. It clouds our view, and we cannot be used of God. And the only way we can be used of God is for God to come down and touch us like He sent the angel. The third thing we learn, and we're closing, that the thoughts that we have in the presence of God, when did you start thinking the right thoughts? When he got where God told him to be, and he was able to discern that God wasn't in the earthquake. God wasn't in the fire. God wasn't in the wind. How did he know that? He was in the presence of God. And how do you and I know that a lot of people say, I want to do God's will, but I don't know what he wants. Simple as ABC. If you really want to know God's will, then God will let you know his will. If you'll get yourself out of the way. Didn't mean to tell this, but two nights before I was discharged the second time, probably was the most amazing night of my life. I've had amazing days before, but this was the most amazing night. After the nurse left about 11 o'clock out of the room, my heart raced back up somewhat, my blood pressure stabilized, and she doesn't come in but every four or five hours. Closed the door, dark inside, and I started talking to the Lord out loud. And for about 3 hours, or four, I don't think my voice hushed one second. I started as early in my life as I knew anything, thanking the Lord. Thanking the Lord for every innocent. And the Lord's presence came in that room. I've never felt like that before. His presence was in that room. I didn't sleep. I didn't go to sleep till 7 o'clock next morning. I slept 20 minutes. And I said, God, I want to stay awake. And you can replenish. If I need 7 hours sleep, you can quadruple my 20 minutes. You can do anything. And then about 3 or 4 in the morning, nurse came in. And naturally, my conversation with her was about heaven. I talked about heaven, the streets of gold, and I'm going there, some golden. And she said to me,
How do you know that you're going to heaven? How would I know that I'm going to heaven? And I said, do you want to know? She said, yes, I do. And she was so sincere, so I started in the book of Genesis and told her about Adam and Eve's fall. And I don't like to take, she's working, she's got other people to attend to. I minimized it, no doubt, in over 3 minutes. Told her about the plan of salvation, and since God was in the room, she gloriously got saved. And I said to her, this whole sickness of mine was worth it. I will go through it all again just to see you saved. Would you? I said, yes, I would. Just to be with God tonight. Everything God does in my life, if I'm willing to accept His plan, is for my good and for His glory. Thoughts. The thoughts God gives us. One other version. This is the title of the message. Listen carefully at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen to it again. The title of the message. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, which is your thoughts and mine, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The title of the message is bringing every thought into captivity. Every thought. Because those thoughts impede and keep us from seeing what God has for us. He will not attend to our needs until we allow Him to visit us, strengthen us, and then are willing to go where He wants us to go, as Elijah did, to the cave. Then and only then could he discern what God wanted. We go through life confused. I would do this, but I don't know if God wants me to. If we'll learn to bring every thought into captivity, with obedience of Christ, we will know what God wants us to do. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed. Come to piano, organ, if you will, please, and whatever God puts on your heart, play. The message for every individual here, for myself, the thoughts we think hinder us, cause us to look at ourselves so many times. Elijah was a prime example. He's like us. But God got him back where He wanted him to go. Then remember, He went and anointed Elisha in his stead. And the Bible says Elisha was his minister 10 years. Elijah's been going all alone, just him and God. And God sent him a helpmate, Elisha, to go with him and follow him and help take care of all the things. 10 years. And Elijah wanted to get out of this world early before he anointed the king of Syria, before he anointed the king of Israel. 3 major things God wanted him to do, and he didn't want any part of it because his thought pattern got mixed up. God can use it when He gets you where He wants you to be. Altars open. If you're not saved, God will gloriously save you. When God wants to do something for you, don't question it. Don't let a thought occur to you that God's not doing right. Complete trust. Not knowing what God's going to do, it doesn't matter. It's for your good and His glory. Oh, there's no particular time. Learn to captivate every thought. God will quicken you and convict you. Next day when this lady came in to work on second shift, she came rushing in my room. She was under conviction that something she had said to one of the other nurses that quickly just got saved the night before, and now God convicted her for saying something wrong. She's learning real early how to captivate those thoughts. She wasn't that my nurse that night. She came in the room just to tell me. Pray for her. She's a traveling nurse that goes from hospital to hospital across the country. God got so many other people out there, He wants to use you and me as a witness for His glory and for our good. Lord Jesus, You know the intents of her heart. You know the thoughts we think. Let us learn to bring them into captivity for Your glory. To do that which You want us to do, so we can hear Your voice. Let us learn never to question any regard what You're doing, what You want to do. We make mistakes and failures, Father, but thank You for forgiving us. Every good and perfect gift. For enabling me this morning to stand without being tired or without being weary. Refresh my mind, Father. Refresh my body as You already have. In Thy name we pray. Amen.